The Bible reading for the sermon is the passage which was read. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful day and for keeping us in life and faith that we can be here today. And we ask you at this time to send your Holy Spirit into our midst and to help us understand the meaning of your word so that we can know the strength of your grace in Christ Jesus, have our lives directed toward the doing of your will, that we can share together with all of your children the tasks which you give us, and that we will experience the fulfillment of that promise of the crown of eternal life, the crown of righteousness, which we make known to others. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. It's appropriate that this text is used for Easter because it has such a strong affirmation. And then I ask myself the question, in this age ruled by the baby boomers, are there really any people who understand the needs for this resurrection? And I had that question answered as I was sitting in the airport at LaGuardia Field not long ago. It was the worst weekend of the winter there, the worst snowstorm of the winter. And the plane had tried to take off in that storm. And what caught my attention was the fact that I had the possibility of having been on that plane, which went down the icy runway and slid off, and a wheel caught in the mud and went end over end and through a bank of dirt and into the bay. And the airport was closed, the night was over, and now we were there waiting for a plane to come back west, quite a few of us. And the loading zone or the boarding area was down at the end of this branch of the airport, and I went down there. There was nobody in that area. The plane was in pieces in the bay on the end of the runway. There was the gash of open dirt where it went through the embankment. And I went over to the window to photograph. It was cold, icy, and I wanted to photograph that as the big crane was lifting out the jet engine and the parts, putting them into a truck. There were still but four bodies there in the bay. And yes, there was somebody here. To my right, I didn't notice her. A young woman, a little child. The young woman was crying. "Did you have a loved one on that plane?" I asked. She came to me. "I don't want to frighten him." So I was quiet. She walked to the back of me about 15 feet, sat down with the child because I could see in the reflection in the glass the sun was coming through, and I was now photographing this. And I could see in the reflection she continued to cry. There's no way we can silence this sadness. By trying to avoid it, because if she was waiting for any hope, the last four bodies would become with the message, "We regret to inform you." And then we'll have to bring this message of triumphant gladness to the child with the reality factor of what's happened. And for that, we need the strength of grace. Paul is telling Timothy, be strengthened in the grace of Christ Jesus. We all need it. We might think we have the strength. No, we don't. As Professor Eggold said in his last sermon in his chapel, we never know really what it's like until we go through it. And I experienced that weakness. My parents separated when I was 5 years old. I kept in touch with my mother, and she would send gifts and write, and now she was 84 years old and dying of cancer. And she asked me to have her funeral sermon, and I was with the last devotion at her bedside with some of my family. And I knew this would be the last time I would be having a devotion with her. I did over the phone many times after that. But
with her.
So we went through the prayer and now through the Lord's prayer. And I wanted to pray that, leading it with strength, like I did for a couple thousand family devotions, which would broadcast over the radio. And I got into it, and my voice gave out. And tears came down my cheeks, and I was silent. Paul says to Timothy, Paul himself facing imminent death, and, you know, with the elders on the shore at Ephesus, when the ship was waiting to take him, they thought for sure he would die at Jerusalem, and it says they were sad because of the fact they would see him no more. He knelt and prayed with them. And now we need to pray for strength. We need that grace of Christ Jesus for strength, especially too with the potential of the churches, all of those mission churches that he had started with Timothy and Barnabas and others. And now he warns them, not only do we need the strength of God's grace, but we also need to avoid the distractions that would pull us aside. He uses the word entangled. Don't get entangled. The word goes back to the Greek meaning that the soldier, he uses the illustration of the soldier here, would get entangled with his coat as he tried to pull his sword to protect himself. Don't get entangled with things that would pull you to the side. Sin is hamartia. It's losing direction toward our goal of our target, doing the will of God, taking care of those missions. Now they're growing. All that responsibility. True in our time too. J.F. Powers, Christian writer of our time, one of the best, writes two short stories about entanglements of ministers. On the one hand, one is called the Prince of Darkness. This minister gets entangled with his hobbies. One was darkroom photography. He spent so much time in that darkroom that the neighborhood laughed about it and called him the Prince of Darkness. The other was golf. He was always practicing golf. He had a goal that his name would be in the headlines with the best golf score. I was trying to help Pastor Bush with the language in the symbols before the service, and I says, well, there'll be one about golf, and there'll be one about this dark room, and, he says you should mention the computers. So there are a lot of things that eat up our time. But the answer is grace. J.F. Powers wrote another book with its key short story called The Presence of Grace, like Paul is telling Timothy here, the strength of grace. This parish pastor works hard, parish, God helps and blesses his work. Becomes large, he needs an assistant. Young pastor comes in, soon the ladies' aide gossips about him and is dividing the parish. And he calls those ladies into the church, closes the door, and in that locked room session, we don't hear what happens. But when they come out, there's peace in the parish. The title of the story is The Presence of Grace. The strength of God's grace can keep us going toward that direction of doing the will of God. What is the will of God for St. Paul? It's in the 10th chapter of Romans, that we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And that's triumphant gladness, as in our hymn, that we're trying to bring to this world. We can't go and silence the fear of sadness by ourselves. We need God's help. And we can have confidence now that if God, no, God does it. He starts the missions. If he did that, Timothy was part of it, he would also provide the power of grace to keep them going. And the next thing is, we have to realize that we can't do it alone. We need the help of these other people in the mission. So he says, commit, just as he told the elders on the shore, as they were weeping and kneeling and praying, I commit it to you. Very serious word. Hand over this treasure to you of the gospel. The things which I taught to you with many witnesses. What were those things in a Damascus Road experience? Through Ananias, the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reality factor of the greatest stress that we ever face in the suffering and the death, where Jesus comes and identifies with us. And the power to identify with that risen Christ, the triumphant gladness. Furthermore, It's not only this relationship and trust in God, but Jesus says, I commit my spirit into your hands. In his dying prayer, facing the reality of the cross, but it also is an ethic. It's not only salvation, it's an ethic for civilization. 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The account of the Good Samaritan that draws us together, that we know that we need one another, that we make this commitment to one another in unity. There is always that threat of disunity, and we have to bring it together. In a plane crash at Evansville, Indiana, I talked to the pastor there as he was preparing people like the woman here in the airport LaGuardia. And in his sermon, he's telling me, he has the funeral sermon of one that's burned in a crash, 38-year-old man, in an Arnold family. The pastor just comes back to Evansville from Iowa, where he went to the funeral of his sister, who died of a kidney infection. He wanted to donate one of his kidneys to his sister. When he went to the doctor, he found out that he had the same infection and he would die. We at a pastor's conference prayed for him. And someone in his congregation donated a kidney for him. It saved his life. And now he came back and he conducted the funeral for that 38-year-old man from that congregation to give them hope of the strength of grace and the triumphant gladness. Finally, Paul says, we work, discipline ourselves according to the rules, and there is a crown for those who discipline themselves in this way. He uses the illustration of an athlete. It's a matter of competition. When we come up against this issue of death, as I did, I remember calling Howard Koepker. We both had taught eschatology courses. I said, Howard, did you have this experience that death is an enemy? Oh, sure. You know how Howard would talk. Sure, he says. And go on. We talk about the Bible verses. Sure. St. Paul saw the enemy of evil, Romans 7. What hope do I have? Oh, wretched man that I am. The victory, the triumph of gladness is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15. Death, it's grave, the sting. Where are they? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now Paul himself could say, in the idea of competing against it, I have finished the course. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, the relationship to God. And now there remains for me the crown of righteousness. And we inherit that tradition of encouraging power of grace. Luther, well, Augustine, in the power of St. Paul's message over evil. Luther, even as he's holding his little daughter, Leni, in his arms. She's dying. He's talking with her. And she says to him, I love you, Papa. I love my Father in heaven, too. And I know I'll go to him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.